Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to the Bet to Sup podcast. I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Amanda Duberman.
And for those of you who are just tuning in, the Bet to Sup podcast is your weekly rundown of all the crazy shit that's happened in the news, explained by your two funniest friends, which is us. Today we're talking about Trump's feud with Baltimore.
The border wall is back.
And the Democratic debates. Let's get into it.
Betches Media presents.
I like beer. I don't know if you do. Okay. Do you like beer, Senator, or not?
My party is going bet crazy.
You're the pop. Alternative facts.
Oh, goodness.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
America!
Elise, how are you?
Honestly, I'm good. It's very hot in our podcast
room.
Super
hot
in the
podcast room.
I'll be honest about that.
Yeah. Climate change has come for our podcast.
Yes, climate change has come to the Betches podcast studio.
Speaking of climate change, it refers to what's getting me through the week.
Yes. What is getting you through the week?
What's getting me through the week? So scientists in Iceland put up this plaque to memorialize the first glacier to lose its status as a glacier. It's very somber. Like, these scientists are pissed. So there's this plaque by the glacier. Iceland obviously has lots of glaciers, but they're probably going to lose more than 400 by... Oh, how do you even say this? Like 2200, the year 2200, I rarely see projections that late because that just seems like we gone.
Yeah, like, exactly. What? It's like, well, I don't know.
Yeah, they'll make that decision. I'm not worried about that.
Those
I'm worried
future
about,
people
yeah,
will decide
yeah.
how they want to talk about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so the glacier's name is OK.
OK.
And it's funny because they're making a documentary about it called Not OK.
Wow.
I know.
Some documentary filmmakers read one tweet about this and thought of that title and they were like, this is the next year and a half of my life.
Completely. And of course, that's my Americanized, I'm calling it okay. There's probably an Icelandic pronunciation that's like, oh, or something.
Yes.
Nice.
That I can't tell you.
Right, right. But yeah, it says, the plaque says, OK is the first Icelandic glacier to lose its status as a glacier. In the next 200 years, all our glaciers are expected to follow the same path. This monument is to acknowledge that we know what is happening and what needs to be done. Only you will know if we did it.
Ah.
Yeah, like savage.
Oh, my God. I know. I've never seen a savage plaque.
I know. I know. And it has it with Icelandic and then American.
American. Wow.
American.
Yeah. Well, American English, without all the fun U's.
Exactly.
And the E's
right.
Like
it says
that,
it doesn't say our favorite glacier, but if it did, it would not say it with a U. So, you know, Iceland's a tiny country that is really proactive on climate change. Mm-hmm. They contribute very little to global CO2 emissions, but they suffer pretty dramatic consequences.
A lot of the countries that will suffer the most dramatic consequences from climate change are ones that we all have something to do with what has happened here, but they have very little. If their country cut their emissions to zero, it would not change.
Right. Plus, it's mostly businesses and industry anyway.
Yeah. It's us and China.
Yeah. It's not okay.
It's not okay.
Yeah.
But that is a beautiful plaque.
Yeah. I thought that gesture would definitely got me through the week that people care that much to. They want to make it like a tourist attraction. But
yeah. I saw it. You tweeted it out on @betches_sup. Which anyone is welcome to follow.
Yes, please.
And that's where I learned about it.
Perfect. All right, Elise, what's getting you through the week?
Okay, what's getting me through the week? You know, it's been a while since we've had any movement on the college admissions scandal. I love the college admissions scandal. Big fan. As far as scandals go, it's one of my favorites that's popped up.
Yeah,
it's
one of the top scandals.
Yeah, because it's one that doesn't make me feel scared. There's not a level. Yes. It's not like, oh, this is interesting. And also, I feel personally endangered by what has happened.
And there's no gray area between... You know, the perpetrators having a degree of innocence, their circumstances, actually their circumstances did bring them where they are, but in a good way. That's it's very black and white. They suck. They
did
bad.
Yeah, I feel it's also, both sides of the aisle can agree. It's a great scandal.
It's a unifying scandal.
And one of the central figures in this scandal, obviously Lori Loughlin's daughter, Olivia Jade, who has been silent on Instagram.
Since February,
since the day...
Yeah.
The scandal broke. She had previously had that post that was a completely SponCon post for Target dorms. Yeah. And it's oh, God. Yikes. But she's broken her Instagram silence. She posted happy birthday to her mom
right.
yesterday, potentially her last free birthday for a while because Lori Loughlin refused to take a plea deal because she thought the plea deal was a prank. So
right. I'll take my chances.
So, but my favorite part of all of this is that she just posted about her mom's birthday. It's a pretty like innocuous right. post. But my favorite part is that she posted it today and Lori Loughlin's birthday was yesterday. I
know. Right.
So it was a belated birthday. I know. Post. She
it's
got
weird
it wrong.
That how she, like, what was that calculation? Like, she woke up and was like, oh, it's late, but it's still worth my first return post is going to be a day late.
Yeah. And I want it to be a mistake. Right. I want to get the date wrong.
Yeah. That's what they'll pay attention to.
I mean, I guess she has to come back to, she has to come back at some point.
I guess so. I mean, they got asked to leave the school, right? Or
I believe they might
that process was happening.
They might have dropped out before, you know, like you don't fire me, I quit type of a situation. I'm sure that it would have come to that at some point. I'm actually a little rusty on, I think maybe only one or two kids have been like officially kicked out.
Right, because they were admitted.
Yes.
Yeah.
So like, I think it's only one or two that have actually been kicked out and maybe there are like proceedings, like probably a lot of these schools are like trying, like, shit.
I know, it's such a PR disaster.
Because I feel like they don't even, I mean, the school cares in the sense that it's like,
they care about their reputation.
Yeah, their reputation. Right. But they're like, oh, we don't want to lose all these rich people.
Right, exactly.
That have all this money to pay to be fake on the crew team. Like, you know, I'm like, we could get them to give that money to us this time. You know, like they probably don't even.
There's like
want.
One decent crew player that's just like, fucking leave.
Yeah,
so
I know. He's
go.
Like, God damn it, I worked so hard to be on this crew team. It's no joke to be on a crew team. It's a very strenuous sport. You have to work really
that's
hard.
That's the under theorized offense here.
Yeah,
that they it's like posed if I was as crew members.
Yeah, and that's like really hard.
Yeah.
And it's expensive to be on crew. Like, people probably sacrificed a lot to be on the crew team.
They're even less rich than they could have been because of that.
Well, anyway, Olivia Jade's back on Instagram.
I'm excited to see where this goes.
I know. I'm excited to see if she tries to get back into the influencing game. Is she going to do a more formal apology? Yeah. Or I feel like she can't come. I'm going to now talk about Olivia Jade for 40 minutes. But I feel like she can't come back 100% without doing a YouTuber apology video.
No.
She can't.
But I also feel like, I feel like the tide has turned with like content creators where before like they would do something fucked up and it actually worked out. It can work out infuriating well for people that just ignore them because they have such devoted followings or like they either have very devoted followings or their followings like they don't care.
Yeah.
It's like a blip for them. Like, we're pretty invested in this and it's fun to talk about, but like, I feel like that era is over with all the issues lately. Like, she has to address it. She can't just move on.
Exactly. She honestly probably should have done it right away, but I think so. I'm not her PR manager, so.
Right.
Because she won't answer my calls. Should we get into the real news?
Okay, let's do it.
Great. President Trump is in a fight with Baltimore.
All of it.
Just the entire city.
He hates crab.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, have you been to Baltimore? It's really nice.
Yeah.
You can have like a lovely meal by the bay.
It's brutal. Yeah. So he tweeted, he unleashed a flurry of disparaging tweets about Baltimore, and they were sort of embedded within personal attacks on Representative Elijah Cummings, who represents a district that includes Baltimore.
Yeah, I think it's Maryland 7th.
Yeah, that sounds right. 6 or 7. Elijah Cummings is a black man. Trump tweeted, "No of Baltimore. No human being would want to live there."
Okay.
It's very dangerous and filthy place. There's no A or the other. He called it the worst in the USA and claimed it was a rat and rodent infested mess. And this was in response to Cummings criticizing conditions at the border, which like most Americans with a conscience have done. And his argument was sort of like, our borders are great compared to Maryland.
Well, that's...
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. All the things that he said, no human being would want to live there. It's a dangerous and filthy place. Worse in the USA, rat and rodent infested. I would say that about the facilities at the border, not the cities at the border.
Right.
The facility at the border. So obviously, you know, people immediately pointed out that this is racist. He's leveled attacks like this on, you know, people of color in the United States before. So it's no surprise that he would have these opinions about like a majority black city.
The use of calling somewhere infested
yeah.
is like a real coded thing for him. He's done it repeatedly. Like yes. he told the four congressmen to go back to the broken and crime infested places from which they came.
Yes.
In 2017, he also attacked John Lewis, also a black lawmaker, a representative from Georgia, to mm-hmm. pay more attention.
Hero,
fucking hero. Like, how dare you to go back to his crime infested district. Before he was president, he questioned sending resources to Ebola infested African countries. And we also remember he once called African countries shithole countries.
Yes.
So this is like a real thing. He uses infested and infestation to attack minority lawmakers all the time. And it's like, ugh, so troubling.
Yeah. And there was a really powerful clip going yeah. around about this. CNN anchor and Baltimore native Victor Blackwell basically gave this sort of emotional on-air response talking about Trump, listing what you just listed, Trump's various times that he's used the word infested, various times he's basically tried to, you know, connect these places with vermin.
Right.
And he said, you know, he's insulted thousands of people, many different types of people. But when he tweets about infestation, it's about black and brown people. And we actually have a clip of sort of the emotional ending to this speech, yeah. which I think was really powerful.
The president says about Congressman Cummings' district that no human would want to live there. You know who did, Mr. President? I did. From the day I was brought home from the hospital to the day I left for college. And a lot of people I care about still do. There are challenges, no doubt. But people are proud of their community. I don't want to sound self-righteous, but people get up and go to work there. They care for their families there. They love their children who pledge allegiance to the flag, just like people who live in districts of congressmen who support you, sir. They are Americans, too. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Victor.
I mean, I kept seeing that clip going around, and I was like, I'll watch it at some point. And then I finally watched it, and I was like, oh, it just like yeah. hit me in the heart.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's so, I mean, we obviously watch a lot of news, but you don't often get that like really personal, mm-hmm. emotional reaction to it. And like, I'll even admit, like, we talk about this a lot, like this presidency, it's something worse every single day mm-hmm. that you forget the worst thing from, you know, the day before. So it's like, especially when it's on a weekend, you're like, oh, okay, he did this again. And you're like, you pay attention to it, you're going about your day. And then you, yeah, seeing yeah. that was like a real gut punch.
And like, it made me realize, like, I, as sort like a white suburban person who grew up in like Fairfax County, Virginia, like, he's not going to say this stuff
oh,
about my hometown.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it's like to have a hometown that is constantly used as this weird example of crime
right.
and like, oh, it's a horrible place to constantly have people insinuating that no one would want to live in the place where you grow up, and then had to have it come from the president of the United States, who is the president of
right.
where you live. Like,
right.
this is what we were talking about right before we started podcasting, but it's crazy to me. I'm like, you know, you're the president of Baltimore.
Yeah, you
right?
represent them.
And it really goes down to like, he does not see places where people of color live to be part of the America that he's the president of. He
right.
really only feels like he's the president of people who voted for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would honestly like love to have, there's so many things I would love to have a journalist ask him, but I would like love to be like, what responsibility do you bear for how things are in American cities?
Right.
Like, why don't you feel like you,
right.
you've been president for 3 years. Do you think these cities have improved? And if so, if not, like, why?
Yeah.
You know, he's the president.
Right.
So it's just like, ugh.
Yeah. And then like, he fired back at sort of the response being like, this was racist.
Yeah.
By saying that Cummings is racist.
He loves that.
Yeah. He loves that. It's like, it's I'm not racist. You're racist to say I'm racist. And then he also went after Nancy Pelosi and her district, which includes yeah. San Francisco, calling it like unrecognizable and gross and terrible, yeah. which is like,
okay.
Yeah. It's yeah. unrecognizable because all your friends are buying up all the rental units and no one can afford to live there.
Yes. It's all, yeah. I mean, what does he want it to be? Like the Haight-Ashbury district
right.
again?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's like, well, it's really different from the 60s. Like, I'm like, what are you talking about?
Keep San Francisco weird.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I would love it if Trump was like lamenting the like end of the hippie era. That
yeah.
would be interesting. That would be an interesting choice.
Today's episode of American Fever Dream is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. It's Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription rental service, and for just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. You get fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. No laundry for you to worry about. This is the best. You just put it back in your box, send it out, and before you know it, you've got your next one. And you always have the option to buy what you love for sometimes up to 75% off. I bought the Rachel Antonoff pasta puffer from them. I was obsessed with it, like everybody who tries it is, and it was completely sold out everywhere else. So I felt like I really, really had an in there. So thank you, Nuuly. Nuuly is an amazing value at $98 a month for any six styles. And right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code FEVERDREAM20. Just go to NUULY.com. That's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code FEVERDREAM20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with two U's with code FEVERDREAM20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental, change your clothes.
Another thing that's crazy about him saying all this stuff, apart from the fact that it's racist and horrible and all the things, is that Jared Kushner owns a number of buildings in Baltimore, all of which, he owns more than a dozen complexes that have been cited for health code violations, hundreds of health code violations in Baltimore County. Many of those violations include mouse infestations, mold problems, and maggots. So, of course, a member of his own family is a slumlord in Baltimore. Of course. Actually, part of the problem is his own fucking family.
Right. Yeah. If you want to say how do these issues, the ones that he chose to highlight, happen? It's delinquent landlords.
Yes.
Kushner's family owns 9,000 rental units across 17 complexes. They earn $90 million a year from doing that, even though they are riddled with mice, apparently. Tenants have sued repeatedly. Private investigators have found that have described the Kushners as slumlords.
Yep.
Yeah. 200 code violations. Most of them very focused on the vermin.
Yes.
There's a huge vermin issue in the Kushner buildings.
Yes. And to talk even more about vermin, in 2018, New York City's health inspection of Trump Tower Grill showed evidence of mice or live mice in and around the kitchen. The inspectors categorized the violation as critical. They also described conditions as conducive to attracting vermin. Which I think you can just say about Trump in general, conducive to attracting vermin.
Vermin certainly. Enter here. Yeah. Filthy food prep areas. And if you live in, not even just if you live in New York, if you live anywhere, you might know that you have to be kind of gross to not get an A. They let you have a lot of violations. They're like, life happens. We get it. Vermin happen. You have to have a lot of shit wrong to get that. Only 22% of food establishments in the five boroughs have mice related problems, and basically all of his restaurants do.
So you have to be, because that's not to say only 22% have mice, because there's certainly more than that. Yeah. You have to have so many mice
exactly
to get the violation.
Yeah, right.
That's
right. So it's nice. You know, they say that every can of jar of peanut butter has a couple fly legs in it. This means that the Trump Grill is basically. If you had a jar of peanut butter and it was crunchy from fly legs.
Yeah, you're this is way too many fly legs.
Way too crunchy.
And I actually did not know that about peanut butter and fly legs, and I'm horrified.
Something like that, yeah.
Sorry. That is horrible. So it's just once again, everything that he says could actually be lobbed at his own self. He's always holding up a twisted mirror to his own horrific situation.
Right. He has no sense of maybe I should look at my own house before I unleash this.
Yeah.
Because the consequence is it doesn't matter.
No.
Nobody that supports him is going to be well, I'm racist, but that's a little hypocritical. So that's where you got me. I'm fine with you insulting and offending people of color. But
again, I would love to have a journalist be what about the health code violations at Trump Tower? And then he'll probably be there aren't any.
Exactly. Right. There aren't any.
That's
fake
the thing
news,
is
fake
it's
news.
You always are I wish someone would nail him down. And it's not a good question is going to get him to say or do. He'd just be fake. I'm going to, the interview's over.
Right.
Whatever. Get her out of here. Right. whatever.
It's a stupid question. I saw this morning that he was speaking to 9/11 first responders and said that he was like, I was down there. I guess I don't consider myself a first, but I was there. I was there.
And then lied again. I guess I don't consider myself a first responder in that I was not one. Right. But,
and lied again that he claimed that he saw Arab Americans
cheering.
Cheering. Yes. Yeah. So I wonder if this, like, after he attacked the four congresswomen, he went up in polls. And I really do wonder if this is completely intentional.
I do feel like this is part of his strategy. Yeah. And this is what he does. He finds something to harp on. And I do think that his voting base, the people that he is counting on.
Yeah.
I do think that they get very animated by this idea that everyone is calling them racist. It's because they're acting racist.
Yes.
But it really, I think he really understands his base. And I think he is right to think that things like this really, like, that's their bread and butter.
Right.
They love that. They're like, you're just going to call everybody racist now? Just everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody who hates black people is racist now? And I'm like, okay. Right.
They don't deny the beliefs that they have. They just deny that they correspond to the word racism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because their standard for racism at this point is you have to be on video looking directly into a camera saying the N-word to, like, someone in, like, someone directly.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you have to be, like, on camera calling someone, a black person, the N-word for it to rise to the level of racism.
Or call a racist white person racist. That's racist.
Yes, well, that is also racist.
Yes, in their
The standard for being racist against white people, extremely low. Extremely low.
Very low.
Wow.
Yeah, well, and also he tweeted this, he tweeted this on Saturday morning. On Friday evening, a huge news broke, and it was immediate about border funding, and it was immediately taken over by this immediately took over the entire news cycle.
Exactly. I didn't even remember it until you brought it up to me today. And I was like, oh, yeah, I should put that in the newsletter. So we should tell you, on Friday night, the Supreme Court basically handed Trump this major victory on the border wall. They said that it was OK for him to divert $2.5 billion in Pentagon funding to build an extra 100 miles of border wall in California, Arizona, and New Mexico.
Yeah.
So, the liberal judges dissented. The conservative judges were for it.
Yeah. And this was after a handful of previous judges had said, like, no, you can't. I think it was related to he wanted to, like, call for a national emergency. And that's how he was going to demand these funds that are not traditionally given to a president to do that without Congress. And the Supreme Court was like, you can do it for now. And I think there's still, like, ongoing litigation.
Yeah. So then the administration was like, we're going to use it for fencing. I'm like, what happened to the steel slats? The wall keeps changing. Like,
what about the big, beautiful wall?
First, it was a big, beautiful wall. Yeah. Second, it was going to be see-through. Do you remember
that was supposed to be more humane. Like, where, you could see them begging to escape oppression and violence.
I was interested in the prospect of a see-through wall because I personally have not seen it. I don't want there to be one. But I was like, I would let him build a prototype so that I could see it. Then it was steel slats. Now it's fencing.
Now it's fencing, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if fencing is just like they use it because to most people it's more agreeable than the word wall.
Yeah. I can't tell. It seems to change often.
Yeah.
So then this ruling also came on the same day that Trump signed an agreement with Guatemala that now requires migrants who travel north through Guatemala, which, you know, you pull out your map, that's a fair number of migrants that are... Guatemala's in the way there. So people pass through it. They have to seek asylum there first.
Yeah.
So now it's like this idea that you have to like prove that you've been trying to seek asylum elsewhere. It's a way of trying to keep people from getting to us and to trap them. And then to people who do get to us being like, well, you didn't seek asylum in Guatemala.
Right. Yeah. So this seems to be on top of the rule that they announced last month that. You have to seek asylum wherever you go first. And like Guatemala is like, we can't, I mean, they signed it, but they're like, we can't absorb this. We don't have like, and it's, I read something where, like the Guatemalan lawmakers and people concerned were like, you see what's happening in America. they actually are like a wealthy nation, and they can't manage this. Why do you think we can? We don't want to be like America.
I know we're actually actively exacerbating the crisis, because now potentially Guatemala is going to get flooded with Central American migrants. They're not going to have the resources to deal with what is happening. So what is going to happen to Guatemala? Yeah. Are we now going to have more people who are fleeing from Guatemala because the situation there has gotten so insane? And then it's like we're creating a worse situation because we refuse. President Trump's strategy refuses to address the underlying causes of like violence and problems in this area. Mm-hmm. And he's just trying to stop them from coming to the U.S., but he's not actually looking at why. Right. And so it's just like deepening.
Yeah. And situation. These areas where like migrants who need to seek asylum accumulate, like it was sort of related to the father and daughter that died last month. They were waiting in an area because they were not allowed to cross a bridge because there were a certain number of people who could seek asylum per day. And those areas where people congregate and have to spend a lot of time, like those are not, they don't end up being nice places. Like, people get exploited and taken advantage of, and there's a lot of crime in them. So that's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger in the places that are already struggling.
Yeah, because people, I mean, first of all, they're already, like, in a lot of those border areas, there's already a lot of crime and stuff. It's just kind of a rough area. Yeah. Second of all, now they're influxed with hundreds of thousands of people. Like, how many people are over there? Like,
that.
I don't, so many. There and so people who were already criminals know that there are all these vulnerable people there, and people who are really vulnerable and don't have anything are driven to probably more criminal activity than they would normally have done, because it's like, well, now you're in
more
desperation
desperate.
Mode. Like, now you're in survival mode. You've got a kid. You're like, well, I'm gonna steal stuff, like, you know.
Yeah. The ACLU, so on the border wall, the ACLU says they're gonna try to get another hearing a little bit sooner to try to keep this from happening. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what happens. He just builds like a little bit of the wall, and then he like asks for more money.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
Yeah, this was one of the like not the few times, but big cases where the court was like split straight up ideologically. Like, there were a couple like surprises this time of like, you know, RBG being with Kavanaugh, or like people split in interesting ways.
Yeah.
But yeah, this, I think it's pretty telling that this was like right down the
middle. It seems like, I don't know. I'm still trying to get a read on this Supreme Court.
I know. This is why
they're definitely conservative, but they're not just blanketly doing everything that he wants.
Right. Right.
And it seems like they're kind of like dancing around the margins of big deal things and otherwise avoiding it. And also like, but advancing like smaller conservative agenda points, like things people aren't paying attention to, like this. They're like, they're going through, but like bigger cases, I think this desire to seem impartial kind of overcomes some of them.
Yeah.
And they're like even Brett Kavanaugh will be like, well, I'll show them.
Totally. Yeah.
I'll show them that I'm not that angry boy.
Yeah. Did you read this weekend something came out that like RBG was just really effusively praised? Well, okay. Maybe it's not fair to say effusively praising Brett Kavanaugh, but she was like, he's very smart and decent. Yeah. I'm fine with him. And she did say like, I never know what to make of this. His staff of clerks is apparently all women, which is like a first.
It's interesting.
It could be
choice.
Creepy, or it could be really forward thinking of him.
It could also be that he's like
trying extra hard.
I just had this.
I just was like accused of sexual
assault. I was just accused of sexual
on the national
assault,
scale.
And then I kind of lost my shit in front of everybody and like, I'm here now, but I'm probably on thin ice. So like,
yeah, totally.
So maybe he's like not creepy to them, but also like he hired them with an ulterior motive, I would imagine.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But whatever, I guess I'm not going to begrudge any women jobs.
Of course, yeah.
Like, I'm not going to begrudge any female lawyers a clerkship at the Supreme Court or whatever, but I side-eye his intentions.
Exactly, yeah. And then the last thing.
He's like, look, I've surrounded myself with beautiful babes and yet I do nothing.
Trump attracts vermin. Kavanaugh attracts beautiful babes. Yeah. Yeah, Kavanaugh's on the Trump track.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Should we get to one more thing?
I think first we'll talk about, there was some bad news out of California last night in the town of Gilroy in Northern California. Another mass shooting. Now, a mass shooting can be described as, I think, more than five victims.
Mm-hmm.
I'll double check that. But one was, how many were killed? Three people were killed, including a six-year-old boy named Steven Romero. He was dancing in a bounce house when they've announced they believe it was a 19-year-old shooter, a male shooter. He was killed by police who engaged in gunfire with him. At this like very popular, very well attended festival to celebrate garlic.
Yeah, I know. It's just like, is there anything more pure than celebrating garlic in a bounce house? Like a child bouncing in a bounce house.
Yeah.
At a festival about enjoying garlic.
I know.
Like, there's That's nothing more pure than that.
You're never, right. And yeah, it just makes you wonder, like, anytime you want to take your children somewhere, it's not safe.
Yeah.
He got through a metal, he broke through a fence to avoid going through a metal detector, I believe.
Right. Yeah. That was another thing, is like, there was security at this. There were metal detectors, but it just goes to show, like, until we address the actual underlying cause, which is our gun problem and our gun laws, people can break through a fence and hop over. People can smuggle things. Stuff gets missed because you've got tired security guards who are processing. I think they said,
of
like,
course,
60,000 people come to this festival. Yeah. Like, of course someone can sneak in a gun. Right. Of course they can.
Yeah. Those things can't change the motivation. And and there was like there were like three other shootings last night.
Yeah.
There was one in Philadelphia.
There was one in Brownsville in Brooklyn. Yep. That one really was bad. Really bad.
Tons of people hurt.
Yeah.
And they keep happening at like very public places.
Yeah, populated events, which is scary. And you know, I think at this point we've probably all had that experience of being in a place where you're like, shit, like someone could really open fire here. Like,
of course.
Anytime you're going to a public gathering now, a festival, whatever, there is something in the back of your mind. A movie, it's opening weekend.
The first
weekend,
thing you think. Yeah.
There is something in the back of your mind that's like, it could be today.
Totally.
It could be here.
I'm sure everyone has something like this, but like, I went to a movie with the kid I babysat the other day and the fire alarm went off. And my first thought was not, there's a fire.
Yeah.
My first thought was like, they need us out of here because somebody has a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's horrible. Yep. These people should have been able to have just fun at the garlic festival.
Right.
Like, I don't. Ugh.
Okay. Hopefully the Democrats address this on the debate stage this week. So this is our one more thing. The second set of Democratic debates are already here. The first was about a month ago. Everyone who participated in the first will participate in the second, with the exception of Eric Swalwell because he dropped out. So Montana Governor Steve Bullock will take his place. You won't notice the difference.
I'm genuinely shocked that more people did not drop out before this.
Me too.
Debate.
Yeah.
Hats off to Eric Swalwell for being the one person who's like, you know what? I'm not going to take any more time.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm sure Montana Governor Steve Bullock is a nice person, but like,
right.
You're not in this race, dude. You weren't in the first debate. You're polling at less than 1%. Right. You're not.
We don't know anything about his platform that's like cool. Like, I liked Swalwell because his was 100% gun control.
Yeah.
And he spent a lot of the first debate, like, he really went after Mayor Pete, like, about the shooting that happened there and why he hadn't fired certain like members of law enforcement.
Yeah.
And like, he did, for the time he was running, he was constantly talking about gun control, and like, he might have moved everybody over a little bit on that and brought it in. But like, I don't know what Steve Bullock's talking about. Jay Inslee is talking about climate. He's not going to win, but I'm still happy to have him.
I'd
on
rather
there.
Have a generic white guy who's not going to win that has like a thing that he's doing than just this random guy, which maybe he has a thing, but I don't. He definitely
has. If we don't know it, then it's not. Yeah.
I'm following this race. I don't know it. And it's just annoying to me because I feel like it's almost entirely these like random generic white guy governor candidates who are all just taking up space on this debate floor, knowing that they are not going to win, detracting from the candidates who could win, and just in general, like, preventing the race from getting serious for long.
Yeah.
Because now we have another debate with 20 people where everybody's going to say one sentence.
Right.
And maybe one person will have a big moment, but we're not really going to get into anything because we have 20 people.
Yeah. Over two nights. Yeah. It's nuts.
Like, I want to see the people who have a little bit, who, the people who are above 1% support, I want to see them talk to each other.
Yeah.
And it'll be a delight to have Marianne Williamson up there. But I don't need we're running a real race, and it's really important, and a lot of stuff is happening, and like, it's really important that we beat Donald Trump, and I don't need this, whatever this is.
Right. Yeah. I think that tonight tomorrow, they'll really be peacocking, because the next debate in September, I'm so glad there aren't August ones, are going to be really whittled down because of requirements. Like, they basically have to have like twice as many donors and twice as much polling.
Yeah.
I think I read somewhere there's only space for 10 people. The only ones that have qualified are Biden, Sanders, Warren, Harris, Buttigieg, O'Rourke. Oh, that's surprising. And Senator Cory Booker just passed it.
O'Rourke does have a lot of donors.
Yeah,
like
that's
people,
true.
If it's all donor that's based, true. I it feel is. Like he does have a lot of right. support yeah. on that.
Like Julian level. Castro has tons of like individual donors and like small. We talked about this on the podcast that came out over the weekend mm-hmm. with Marissa Cabas about like, you know, fundraising means so many different things and like. Yeah. You'd be surprised to look at when you look at by category and types of money and quantities. Like there are more surprises than just like this person won. But it's in Detroit. CNN anchors will be hosting it. Dana Bash, Don Lemon, and Jake Tapper. Jake Tapper is a daddy.
I love him. I love Jake Tapper. I know, honestly, I'm excited. I am happy that I did not want to see Chuck Todd doing that again.
No.
And it is interesting. So night one, we've got Marianne.
Yep.
John Delaney, John Hickenlooper, Tim Ryan. I was like, who the fuck is Ryan?
My friend Ryan's going to be up there.
Like, yeah, and then we got Ryan. I'm just like, who is
which one's Ryan? Steve Bullock, Amy Klobuchar, Beto O'Rourke.
Buttigieg, Warren, and Sanders, which will be interesting to see Warren and Sanders up there.
Yeah.
And I wonder what they'll do. I feel like they're going to hold off on directly coming for each other.
Yeah. I guess it depends on like the questions. Yeah. Like they'll certainly be asked about like their student loan things, which are pretty similar, and their healthcare views, which are pretty similar. Like they're sort of faced. But I feel like Sanders is kind of like burned out.
Yeah. And in the times in the past where he's tried to directly criticize Elizabeth Warren, I think it's kind of backfired on him.
Totally.
And people have, like, he hasn't found a way to do it yet. Yeah. I think that is effective. And I also think that Elizabeth Warren also doesn't want to alienate the Sanders people.
Yeah, that's true.
Because she needs them eventually. So she's not going to come too hard for Sanders either. Because one, Bernie Sanders popular, like she's obviously, I'm not saying like taking a lot of his ideas, but they're very similar on a lot of policies. So it's like, how much can you come
for
him?
Yeah. She always had them. He just sort of introduced them to the public first.
Yeah. And both of them are counting on their people. They need to get those other person's people. So it's like, you don't want to insult them that badly.
Yeah. And then Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and Cory Booker on the same night. Both Harris and Booker have confronted Biden about his history on criminal justice.
Yeah, and they've been fighting in the interim.
Yes. And they, like, Biden has since released like a criminal justice plan. And I was reading that his strategy is really just to be like forward looking. Like, this is what I, let's not talk about what I've done. Let's talk about what I will do.
Mm-hmm.
So he might try to pull that. But I'm interested to see how they go for him.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because Biden, I think, is definitely coming a little more prepared. He got slapped around in the first one. I don't think that he's going to let people slap him around again as easily.
Yeah.
So we shall see.
Yeah. And so we'll be live tweeting all of that stuff. But we're also, last time, so many of you guys asked us for a drinking game.
Yes.
Which that is very on brand.
I know. We had abdicated that duty initially.
Right. Well, because we were like, people don't actually want to get like bombed on a Tuesday and Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Like, so we're going to do an alternative. You can drink. But we're calling the game Drink or Donate.
Yes.
So we'll have a list of like 15 things. We'll see. We're still refining it. Where you'll drink if you hear those things. Or you can donate $1 to $5 to a charity of your choice. We'll put some on our Instagram that you can swipe up and easily access. We're looking. If you actually know any charities that take Venmo, send us a message. Because that's obviously, I feel like that's the easier it is for people, the most likely they are to do it.
Yeah. And again, we'll be posting these rules so you'll be able to play along with us. We're at @betches_sup on Insta and Twitter. If you aren't already following us, I mean, come on.
Yeah. take screenshots of like your donation. I'm going to do all of mine at the end, like keep a tally.
Yeah.
And then, you know, donate rather than doing like $21 donations. Yes,
exactly. That is smart.
Yeah. So that's our accommodating your request for a drinking game.
Yes, and you can do it anyway. You could drink and donate on the same one.
Yes, if you're like, oh, this time, I want to drink for.
You could be
for,
you know,
Pete Buttigieg's folksy term, but I want to donate for.
Yeah,
for
it's
every
up
time.
To you.
Yeah.
So we'll be playing Drink or Donate throughout the debate.
Yes.
Please join us. And don't forget to rate and review this podcast.
Please. Then we can get cool candidates to come on.
Right? Exactly. The cool. We've got a lot of amazing guests on our bonus episodes. You guys know that. But we could get even more amazing guests. The real people you want to hear from if you do rate and review this podcast.
Please.
All right, guys. Until the end of democracy, I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Amanda Duberman.
And this is the Betches Sup podcast.
Betches.